Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today and all next week as he is on his Caribbean vacation. Much deserved. Hope it's going well. Thank you to Joel Klatt for stopping by. Make sure you check out the USFL playoffs starting this weekend. He will be calling the semifinals, which begin on Saturday. We'll talk to Mary Kay Cabot in just a few minutes. Browns beat writer at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Selected for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's a lot going on with the Cleveland Browns. The Deshaun Watson situation still developing, and Baker Mayfield, as I just gave my opinion on. We'll discuss that with Mary Kay, who's always kind enough to join us here on The Herd. Another big situation in the NBA that is developing right now is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets. What is Kyrie going to do? They are at an impasse with his contract extension, and it is looking like Kyrie may not be with Brooklyn very soon. He has a few days to decide what he's going to do with his option. But there's a lot of layers to the situation. Depending on which storyline you want to follow, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are not getting along anymore, which would be understandable since Kyrie only chose to play in 29 games during the regular season this year and 4 playoff games when they got swept in the first round after being favored to win the championship. You could follow the line of reporting that says that Kevin Durant could be leaving if Kyrie ends up leaving. I very much believe that is a possibility. He is also not recruiting players, so perhaps he is tired of the circus that Brooklyn has become. Maybe he wants Brooklyn to be aggressive, the front office and the ownership, and he doesn't want to take care of it. There's a lot going on. His future is really the biggest question. We heard a report from Shamsharania of The Athletic. I believe we have this tweet here of what's going to happen with his future. This is, from Stadium. Kyrie Irving, it appears, is going to find a new home, and Kevin Durant has 4 years left on his contract. His future is very much right now in the air. That is from Shamsharania on the current situation with the Nets, Kyrie, and KD. I do think it's in the air with KD if Kyrie leaves. I think it's in the air with KD if Kyrie stays, because when I think of Kevin Durant, I don't think of him with a specific team. I don't imagine he's going to finish his career with the Brooklyn Nets. It's just where he's playing right now. And I have no problem with the way that he has handled his career. He's gone where it suited him best for what he wanted at that particular moment. He's a champion. He's a two-time champion, finals MVP, two-time finals MVP, a league MVP, one of the greatest players that we've ever seen play the game. It's not going to change my opinion if he leaves Brooklyn. Quite frankly, if I was KD, I probably would leave Brooklyn. I know he likes living in New York. He seems to like the owner there. It's probably a good situation for him personally, but if he's going to win championships, I don't know if he can do it in Brooklyn. But the other takeaway from what's going on with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to me is that everyone freaking out about these super teams was kind of silly. Once again, the outrage machine could probably dial it back a few notches when it comes to this stuff. There are things you can be outraged and freak out about. Super teams in the NBA, seems like we maybe have overreacted to that one. If you look at the teams that won, particularly this year and over the past few years, they were built on culture, drafting, coaching, development, deep rosters, shrewd free agency moves, consistent excellence or consistent growth year after year. And those are the teams that are having massive success lately. The idea that you're just going to throw a bunch of stars together and it's just going to automatically work, I think has been debunked as of right now. You look at the two teams that sort of made those moves and the Nets and the Sixers this year, it didn't end very well for them. Teams that were patient, that developed over time, that didn't panic when things didn't go their way, that made slight adjustments or aggressive moves, but in the right situations, ended up in the finals. Golden State, Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Mavs, like those are teams that are building over time, growing, developing, keeping players, keeping coaches, establishing cultures. What happened with the Nets was fun. It was exciting. I'm sad we didn't get to see that lightning in a bottle fully play out, but it seems like it is all falling apart and it's not terribly surprising. We've moved past the era of just putting a bunch of stars together. It's very obvious that success in a team league is not just contingent on that. We know you need high-level talent, but you need more than just that. So maybe we just dial it back on the, oh, everybody just leaves and goes wherever they want and these stars and all. That's not what's winning. Is it interesting? Are we going to talk about it? Yes. Is it drama? Yes. Is there tea? Yes. Is it going to result in winning championships? Probably not, because the evidence as of recent has shown that it has absolutely nothing to do with that. Let's go out to Mary Kay Cabot, friend of the show, Browns beat writer at Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer, selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Thank you so much for joining us, Mary Kay. I feel like every time Colin's out, I'm like, call Mary Kay Cabot and get you on the show. So thank you for always joining us. I don't know if you heard me talking about Baker earlier, but I think you know where I stand on Baker Mayfield at this point. But what is the latest on Baker Mayfield coming out of Cleveland?
Well, as I wrote yesterday, there is a very realistic possibility that he absolutely can still end up with the Carolina Panthers. They are still interested in him. Something could still happen before training camp. So this is something that, you know, people should probably keep an eye on. I have a feeling that it will happen.
What about Seattle? Because Seattle seems like they were a little quiet for a while, and Pete Carroll was like, no, we're going with Drew Locke. And now they're back in the mix, or at least in the conversation, to bring in Baker Mayfield. Is that if you had to pick what situation is more realistic to happen, is it Seattle or Carolina?
I would say Carolina. I keep hearing that although Seattle is interested, they really aren't interested in the $18.86 million salary for Baker Mayfield. They kept waiting for him to get cut. That's not going to happen. So I don't know if that's as front burner for Baker as it might seem right now. I actually still think that the Panthers are the hotter take.
Is there, if you had to put a percentage on it, I guess, is there a chance that he is with this team in the fall? Because we're going to talk about Deshaun Watson in a moment. And he is still on the roster, but a lot has happened. Is there any chance that they have to go with Baker Mayfield or they choose to go with Baker Mayfield in the fall?
You know, I'm going to say no. If you want me to put a percentage on it, I would say maybe 20% chance that he'll still be here in the fall. But getting on the field is another matter. I really don't see them playing Baker Mayfield. I really do believe that that ship has sailed. You can never say never in this business, but I just don't see it happening. There's too much water under the bridge. There's too much bad blood. And I just think that they right now would feel better going with Jacoby Brissett.
With everything that's happening with Deshaun Watson, what is the local reaction to how the Browns have played this out with Baker Mayfield? Because Baker did have some goodwill before all of this kind of fell apart, at least with the fans, at least in my mentions, they were still supporting Baker Mayfield. I think a lot of that has dissolved now. But what is the local reaction to how they've handled the Baker-Deshaun transition, if you will?
Well, you know, it's a tough time to be a Browns fan right now. It's very difficult because fans don't know whether it's time to get excited about the season, to not get excited about it. It's very difficult. They're sort of in limbo, just like everyone else. But in terms of the Baker Deshaun situation, I would say that a lot of the Baker fans they're over it. I mean, they know that he wanted out. He asked to be traded. There are some that have lingered and still support him. But for the most part, I think people are really ready to move forward. Now, what do they move forward to? You move on to Deshaun Watson here. And it's just a difficult situation. I think at least half the Browns fans are very upset about the things that have gone on with Deshaun Watson off the field. And the other half really just want to go and win a Super Bowl any way they can. So it's a little bit divided.
Well, that's significant if you're saying it's around half the fan base that is torn about it. I mean, that's not terribly surprising because things have gone from awful to catastrophic within a matter of, I would say, a month. Now, he did settle 20 of the 24 civil lawsuits over the past 2 weeks. So there are still four that are moving forward. But, you know, the big question now is what is the league going to do? What are you hearing about how that's going to move forward with his suspension?
Well, I have heard that they are getting closer to making a decision on Deshaun Watson. You know, in these kinds of situations, a lot goes on behind the scenes. A lot of discussions, a lot of negotiations happen behind the scenes. So I think some of that is going on now, a lot of phone calls being made. But I do think that the NFLPA kind of, you know, has made it pretty clear that they are willing to go to battle for Deshaun Watson. And their argument would be sort of the light sentencing for some of the NFL owners. And then on the NFL side, you know, we have been hearing that, you know, they want to come down really hard. So you're talking about, you know, the union saying, how about no suspension? And the league saying, how about at least a year? So perhaps it falls somewhere in between there, but it's anybody's guess at this point.
I don't see how the NFL at this point gives out a suspension that is less than a year, because I understand the NFLPA arguing against the punishment or lack of punishment for the owners. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson's situation, it is unprecedented. It's 24 civil lawsuits. What is the precedent? You can't give me Ben Roethlisberger. You can't give me Kareem Hunt. It's 24 cases.
You're right. It's a very, very difficult situation because there have been 24 civil suits. And as you mentioned, he has settled 20 of them. And although he doesn't view that as an admission of guilt, he does not. He still wants to clear his name in those other four suits if they go to trial. But nevertheless, it's just such a difficult thing to try to adjudicate because, you know, again, there was no evidence. That's what the NFLPA will argue, that it's he said, she said. But it's 24, she says. So, you know, they've got a very sensitive and difficult case on their hands. And it's almost a no-win situation. People will think a year is not enough. Some people will think 8 games is too much. They just have to go with what they feel is fair and roll it out and then go from there.
What I fear, we're talking to Mary Kay Cabot on The Herd, Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. What I fear, if it's less than a year, because he did not settle four of the cases, and keep in mind, again, these are not, this is not a class action situation. Each of these cases is individual. Even though the 20 cases were settled, they were each settled individually. What if he loses all four of these cases? There's just this assumption that because he didn't, the criminal case did not go forward, that he's just going to win these civil cases. He very well may lose it. And then what position does that put the NFL or the Cleveland Browns in?
The NFL's investigation has been independent of the civil suits, all along. So I don't think it's going to matter to them that much what happens in the outcome of the remaining four civil cases. They've conducted their own investigation. They've talked to most of the accusers. They've talked to Deshaun for 4 days on two separate occasions, and they are coming up with their own discipline based on their own investigation. So I don't think that will have a huge impact.
What? This is my other question when it comes to this situation. Let's say, let's just play out that he is suspended for a year. So that's 2 years that he hasn't played football. And this is also a player who has had an injury history as well. What does that look like on the field, not playing for 2 years, if that ends up being the case?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, by the time he comes back, he's 27, which these days is still very young in quarterback years. As you mentioned, he did have that torn ACL in his rookie year. So he does have a little bit of an injury history. He will definitely have to be shaking off the rust. I mean, I can tell you that he's looked really, really good in these spring practices and the mandatory mini camp last week. So he looks physically fit. He looks ready to go. But as you mentioned, if he sits out an entire year, then he's really going to have to work hard to get back into it. And he's going to have to spend that year really, you know, throwing and staying as fit as he possibly can.
Regardless of how all this plays out, obviously, it's been a lot of noise around the team with Baker Mayfield and with the Deshaun Watson situation. Aside from that, the rest of the team, obviously, there's some pieces that they've added. They do have a nice roster. I know you mentioned that Cleveland Browns fans are a little torn about whether they should get excited about it or not. This is obviously a very tough division. What kind of expectations do you have, assuming that it is Jacoby Brissett with this roster?
Well, fortunately for Jacoby Brissett, he's got a Super Bowl caliber roster to step right into. So if he has to hold down the fort for 8 games, 9 games, I think he can do that, especially because the early part of the schedule, the first 4 games are very soft. They should be pretty easy, although, you know, they could be starting against Baker Mayfield. So that one in Carolina. So that one could be very, very interesting. But yeah, so we'll see about that. But, you know, I think Jacoby can do enough with this roster to kind of just keep things rolling until Deshaun gets back, if he gets back. Now, if you move into a whole year that he's out, well, that's another story, but you can rely very heavily on your running game. Again, there are plenty of good skill players on the team and a very, very good defense.
Mary Kay Cabot, Browns beat writer at Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer, selected for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and analyst for WKYC-TV, does an excellent job covering the Cleveland Browns. Thank you so much for always joining us, Mary Kay. Have an amazing weekend. Really appreciate it.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Mary Kay Cabot does an excellent job. Always keeps us informed with everything that's going on in Cleveland, which they've always got something going on over there. The Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with 6 stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week, well, today and all next week alongside Ryan Music. I don't know if Alex is back next week or not. She is back. Okay. She's in Italy right now enjoying the sun in Capri and some limoncello spritzers, which are amazing. Did you have those when you were, did you go to the Amalfi Coast when you were in Italy, Ryan?
I did. I was lucky enough to go, but I did not. My wife had a few of them. She was a big fan of the lemon spritz.
You didn't? I mean, you went in Rome. You're not going to have a limoncello spritz?
I tried some of hers. It wasn't my favorite thing I've ever had. So,
you know what? That's my line. It's not my favorite. If I ever say it's not my favorite, I hate it, and I'm being as nice as humanly possible.
I don't know if I hated it. I was just like, I think I'll have another beer.
You couldn't put them down? Yeah. It's a girly drink. I mean, it's a limoncello spritz, but it's delicious. So no one's going to judge you if you drink it there. We'll talk about a little bit more about what Kevin Durant is going to do in Brooklyn, a little on Tua. And we'll also talk to John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist at The Athletic. The NBA draft last night, nothing too dramatic, but it was a little interesting. All of that coming up next on The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet five. That's it. $5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The inaugural USFL playoffs kicks off this weekend on Fox as the Philadelphia Stars face off with the New Jersey Generals for a berth in the title game. From the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, it's the USFL playoffs tomorrow at 3 Eastern on Fox.
Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. He is enjoying vacation in the Bahamas. I'm going on vacation in, what day is today? Today is Friday. So I'm going on vacation in 1 week. It's officially, I think a week out is a good time to start getting excited about vacation. People have been talking to me about it. I'm like, don't talk to me about it. If you're too far out from vacation, you start talking about it, it feels like forever. So this is a good amount of time. I work tomorrow. So I have 1 day off between today and my vacation, and I will enjoy it. I also like working on the day that I leave for vacation too. That's a good vibe. And you feel like you like really accomplish something and then you leave for a while. So Alex will be in with me all next week. Ryan Music is in with me today as we enjoy this post-NBA draft Friday. It was a good draft. It was an enjoyable draft. Nothing too dramatic, but we did not expect Paolo to go number one. He did with his purple rain suit, which I enjoyed. Lots of fashions at the NBA draft. You got to be ready for it. They're going to come with some heat. We will talk to John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist for The Athletic and former Grizzlies VP of basketball operations, about the draft last night in just a few minutes. But Kyrie Irving and KD are the big topic of conversation around the NBA right now. What is Kyrie going to do? Where is he going to end up? He did, there was a report about a list of teams that Kyrie might be interested in doing a sign and trade to if things don't work out with Brooklyn. This is from Woj. If Kyrie Irving can't reach an agreement to stay in Brooklyn, he has a list of teams he'd like them to consider on sign and trades, including the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and Sixers. None of those teams have cap space to sign him without the Nets' help. Of course, there is also the other side of this equation, that is Kevin Durant, and what does he decide to do if everything falls apart with Kyrie. But that list of teams is very interesting. Obviously, my team is on that list, and I had some thoughts about that as well. But I thought I would rank them as far as the best situations for Kyrie if he does end up leaving the Nets. So let's start with the Clippers. I think that this is actually could make some sense. Now, this is also contingent on the roster essentially stays the same that it is now, and you consider what Kyrie is on the court as well as off the court. So let's not just isolate what Kyrie brings to the basketball court. You have to consider his availability. He chose to play in 29 games this season, and four postseason games, where of course they got swept, the only team to be swept in this year's playoffs. I think that he could bring an element of offense to the Clippers. They have a pretty good defensive team. I think Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are the one and two there, so you don't need to rely on Kyrie night in and night out. The one question I do have about this Clippers team, if they were to add a Kyrie, is who's leading this team? Who's having the tough conversations? Who's the heart and soul of this organization if Kyrie ends up going there? Because we know Kawhi is not very vocal. Paul George has not really done a tremendous job in that space, which is not a knock. Everybody's not that kind of vocal alpha leader that you need to win a championship. So I don't know. That I have questions about that. Maybe that comes from the coaching, but then also you have to consider the coach who Kyrie already left once. Now, the Lakers, that drumbeat is getting louder. There's another report out today that it's a very significant conversation, him joining the Lakers. As I said earlier, I don't know how Kyrie to the Lakers changes the narrative that the Lakers are putting out right now, that they're going in a different, more aggressive direction. Now, if it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie, I think that could work. Of course, that also depends on Anthony Davis being healthy, which we really haven't seen with the Lakers at all. LeBron, I don't question, but he is another year older. Again, when you consider these moves, people are assuming that everyone is healthy and is going to be on the floor. I don't believe that happens, so I have to take all this with a grain of salt. But if I'm being optimistic and Kyrie's going to be there and he's going to play and he's going to play all season long and Anthony Davis is going to be healthy and LeBron's going to contribute the way that he always does, then yeah, I think that's a great move on paper. On paper, it usually doesn't play out the same way on the court, but I would have the Lakers at 2. The Mavs are interesting as well. Again, he does nothing for the defensive issues that the Mavs have. They really struggled on the defensive end. Luka's not going to play any defense. That is going to obviously elevate their offense to another level, so maybe they can just outscore everybody. But they have a good developing culture there, good coaching. Luka is obviously the star, so there's not going to be the dependability on Kyrie that you're going to have at some other organizations. So I think that could work. Now, I have the Heat at 4. I really don't think this is a good fit at all. But here's the argument I would make for the Heat. And Heat fans, please don't freak out. If you keep the current core, all right, we're talking about getting rid of role players here to bring in Kyrie. So if you keep Jimmy and you keep Bam and you add Kyrie, that actually solves the scoring issues, the offensive issues that you had with Bam. You don't lose any defense. Obviously, Bam is an incredibly great defensive player, but he struggled in the postseason being a consistent scorer. So Kyrie solves that. The other argument I would make is he's not going to go in here and just mess things up. Pat Riley ain't having it. Spoelstra ain't going nowhere. He ain't having it. Jimmy Butler certainly isn't having it. There is an established energy and culture and standard in Miami for how you're going to handle on the courts and being available to your teammates. That's why I think it might could work because of that, because he's walking into a stable situation. I don't think Pat Riley's going to do that, but it would at least solve the scoring issue. Then you have the Sixers. I think that's a disaster. I mean, James Harden's there. What is getting rid of James Harden? That's the whole reason why James Harden is there, to get away from Kyrie. So I don't understand how that's that are even on the list. I guess they're just a team that makes big swings. So you have that, and then the Knicks. I don't see the Knicks as an option. I mean, the Knicks have been trying to get back to relevancy for forever. They have some young pieces. I don't think that the Knicks are a good option here, which is why I have them at 6. But those are the spots that were reported, and that's my order. Miami Heat fans, please don't freak out. And again, this is all based off of keeping the core star players in place, because as I said, Kyrie is no longer a 2. He was never a number 1, and he's got to go to a situation where he doesn't have to be relied on to contribute every single night, because that is what he has given us for the past few years. Let's get to Ryan with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we had the NBA draft last night, as you've already discussed. It was a bit of a banner night for some of the bigger programs in the country, including Duke, who set an ACC record with number of players drafted in the two-round era of the NBA draft. Five players heard their name called last night, including the number one overall pick, Paolo Banchero. Four out of those five selections were in the first round. You had Banchero, Mark Williams, A.J. Griffin, Wendell Moore Jr., and Trevor Keels. Five is the most draft picks that Duke has had in their history in a single draft. And it was Coach K's last season at Duke, 32-7, went to the Final Four. No championship, did lose those last two games against North Carolina. I'm sure that didn't feel great, but a good way for him to go out with such a loaded, star-studded night in the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, you always want things to be poetic and romantic on your way out, and that those two losses were probably very rough.
Hurt a little different. It's not just losing, but losing in the Final Four, trying to come back from that last home loss, that one had to hurt, I'm sure
it did. But this was a nice consolation prize, having the most taken in Duke history. And look, they had a great team this year. I don't have the same kind of hate for Duke that everybody else does. I don't know. I get it. But like, then also I'm like, it's pretty good. Coach K's pretty awesome. I guess they're annoying to some. I don't know. They don't annoy me. Certain things don't annoy me.
Yeah, I think you're different. Being in this business, I think you appreciate greatness. Like, you don't hate Nick Saban.
No.
Right. Which I think a lot of people who are diehard college football fans aren't probably huge fans of Alabama football and Nick Saban. They probably get annoyed that every other year for the past decade, they're either in the championship game or winning it.
Yeah, I mean, I get annoyed with dysfunction. I get annoyed with teams that aren't really that good or haven't proven anything telling me all the time how great they are. Or Cleveland! Excuse me. a sneeze is pollen in here.
It is. There's some construction in the hallways.
There is lots of construction in the hallway. You know, all the dust paint, is coming down. Yeah, it's getting into my sinuses. That annoys me. Now, I can be bothered, or I can find it monotonous or boring at some points. Like, I got bored of the Patriots dynasty after a while, not because the greatness bored me, but they just weren't like a dynamic team on top of that. Sometimes Alabama can be boring in that way.
Boring
and annoying are two different things. So Duke was never boring. And it also just happened to not annoy me. I don't know. Sorry, guys. It just didn't. I couldn't get that deeply involved in the Duke hate. But I did think that it was nice that they had so many picks in the draft last night. And I think they'll do well. Like, Duke players are prepared. They do quite well in the NBA. So overall, I thought it was a nice night. And we got some tears.
I mean, it's a given. It's going to happen at some point.
I'm cold-hearted. I care about nothing. But every once in a while, the draft tears usually get me, especially when it's like a really uncontrollable cry. I'm like,
yeah.
It's what you worked for your whole life. It's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely.
It's nice to see the emotion. And it doesn't mean anything if you don't have that reaction. But, you know, it's like the girls who are like, if he doesn't cry when I walk down the aisle, I don't want him.
Oof.
I'm like, it's a little aggressive.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to get to that point and then be like, you know what? No, not anymore.
No tears. I'm out of here.
that would be a very harsh line to draw.
I would not.
The sand.
If someone left someone at the altar that I was friends with, I would never talk to them again for so many reasons. Okay. One, you made me come to this wedding. Two, I probably was planning on giving you a bunch of money and have like reserved this weekend for you. And three, I just think that that's atrocious. You had so much time to make this decision. So much time. I would never speak to them again.
Fair enough. Let's turn our attention to the NFL here. Justin Herbert, someone who everyone assumes is going to get paid, and he talked about his new contract coming up. He is eligible for one at the end of this upcoming season, but he's not worried about that contract just yet. He said, quote, "I've been so fortunate to play for the Chargers. Whatever happens, happens. I'm just so excited to be here and play football. This has been a great opportunity, and I don't wish it went any other way. I love that I was drafted here. I believe in the staff, all the teammates, the front office. All I can do is hope for the best. It is out of my control, but I'll keep playing football." He obviously had a great breakout his rookie season. He continued to perform last season, over 5,000 yards, over 65% completion, 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 97.7 passer rating. I totally get this. Everybody just understands that the Chargers are going to end up paying him. Just how much, who knows? It's going to be a lot with a lot of commas, so I think it'll be okay. And they have a whole nother season to wait to see exactly how much they think they're going to need to pay him. But I see this as a no-brainer at some point down the line.
Yeah, but the Chargers will still try and be annoying and make us talk about it for 6 months. Like, they're not going to pay Justin Herbert, which drives me insane. It's like, here's an idea, Chargers, just a note. You're going to have to pay Justin Herbert a lot of money. So maybe just start setting it aside right now. Maybe just start planning for that, budgeting for your franchise quarterback. He's gonna get the bag, as he should. Now, I do think that this is a very pivotal year for the Chargers. It's not going to change how much money Justin Herbert makes, because we've already seen what he is capable of as talent-wise. But they do need to make the playoffs, which sounds crazy considering their division, because it really might just come down to health who ends up winning that division because it's so close. But like, Joe Burrow is just in the Super Bowl. He's drafted the same year as you. So I think Tua has a lot of pressure on him this year as well. Like, if you're not making the playoffs, you went to Cincinnati. That's your team. It's your team, Ryan.
I mean, listen,
they've had some rough goes over the years.
I am with you. The division's going to be tough for him, so I will give him a little bit of credit in that regard, but I'm with you. With the expanded wild cards, you got to be able to at least get into the playoffs.
You do.
And we'll finish with this. We will maybe see a rematch of Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Conor McGregor. They are reportedly in talks about a rematch. They fought back in August of 2017. Obviously, Mayweather won that in the TKO in the 10th round. And McGregor seemed to confirm this report, putting up on his Instagram post, sharing a photo of him fighting with Mayweather, saying, "I accept."
Look, I'm here for the anarchy. So judge me if you want to. I don't get high and mighty about stuff that I find entertaining. I was in Vegas for this fight. And I've been to Vegas many times. I've had many crazy experiences in Vegas, which I will not share right now. I've seen Vegas just on fire, figuratively speaking. Nothing like this weekend. That weekend in Vegas with Mayweather McGregor was insane. Were you there?
Very briefly.
It was nuts. We did Undisputed from outside of the T-Mobile Center for 2 days, I think, leading up to the fight. It was like nothing I'd ever seen. So I don't know that the second one would be as good, because Floyd is not the same fighter he was then. And neither is McGregor, for that matter. But I do think the actual boxing match between the two of them was much better than people expected. People thought it was going to be a disaster. And it wasn't. It wasn't the most beautiful sweet science display that we've seen over the years, but it was watchable. It was a real fight. So I would go to it. I would watch it again. It would not be the same that we watched before. But also, the two of them at this point, the one thing that I think everyone has kind of figured out with the two of them is, like, they're friends and they're going to sell it. And none of what they're saying is true, and they're just going to dial up the excitement or attention for it. But it's all just a gimmick between the two of them to make money. Like, they don't actually dislike each other. That's very obvious. Like, they talked about it after the fight. Like, yeah, we kind of got y'all. Like, we're fine. We're just trying to make as much money as possible. That's part of the game of selling a fight. But I would watch it again. Would you watch it?
I don't think the second time, no.
You wouldn't just watch it. It's different to, like, pay for it or go to a watch party or, like, actually go to Vegas.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a pass.
You wouldn't illegally stream it.
I don't know. Definitely not. If I'm going to do it, I would just pay for
just
it, but
pay
I'm
for
not
it.
Going to.
Yeah. Well, you know, some things are worth it. I would watch it. I would go. And I don't, you know, usually need an excuse to go to Vegas, but I would take it up on this one. That is Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
NBA drafts last night. John Hollinger of The Athletic tells us who had the best draft last night. That is coming up on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today and all next week. Ryan Music is joining me. I believe home should be the safest place for every family. That's why I use and recommend Simply Safe. Simply Safe is advanced home security that puts your family's safety first. Get 20% off with interactive monitoring today at SimplySafeColin.com. The NBA draft was last night. Not too dramatic, but it did have a little spice to it. Let's go out to John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist, The Athletic, former Memphis Grizzlies VP of basketball ops. Thank you, John, for joining us. Really appreciate you making time for us today. It was a little bit of a surprise, Paolo at number one, right? There was kind of consensus that it was not going to be the case. It was going to be Jabari. So what happened there?
Yeah, it was interesting. Orlando kept their cards really close to the vest. And you would think, well, why do they need to do that? It's not like anybody's going to jump ahead of them in the draft. But I think what they were trying to do was tease out what Oklahoma City and Orlando and Houston, want to do right behind them and see if there was an opportunity to make a trade and still get their guy at two or three. Once they figured out that especially Houston was all in on Banchero at three, they realized that if they wanted him, they needed to take him at one. If they traded down, they weren't going to be able to get him. So that's why it took so long to get to this point.
Well, there really wasn't a guy that we knew was going to be the number one overall pick. Some, especially NBA drafts, we know weeks ahead of time, like, this guy is number one. Like, no one's going to skip on LeBron James, you know. But what does Paolo bring that is number one overall pick worthy?
Sure. Offensively, he's really talented. He's for a player of his size to be able to put the ball on the floor the way he does, pass the way he does. He's a pretty decent outside shooter now. That can still get better. It often does with young players. He just has a lot of skill to him for his size, and I think that's going to be make him a tough cover at the NBA level. If I was going to compare him to like an active NBA player, it's like a Carmelo Anthony style of game. He does it a little differently. There's a little like not quite as physical about it as Carmelo is, but that kind of combination of size and skill set at the four position is really hard to guard.
So Chet was probably the most discussed player going into this draft because of his very unique body type. When I look at players like that, I kind of try and envision them as bigger. You know, these guys are so young, and men that, you know, they develop and they put on so much weight, and some even grow, you know, late to their early 20s. So you can imagine that he is going to put on weight, but does he have the body type to put on significant weight? Does he need to? And do you like him going to OKC? Because I do. I think he can sort of hide there a little bit as he develops.
Well, I think he fits there as a rim protector, as the defensive linchpin of the team. I mean, he's going to be a great shot blocker in the league. As far as his body, it's interesting because he's got such a narrow frame that I don't know how much it'll fill out. And I think that's going to affect him more offensively than defensively, actually, where it's just really hard for him to establish post position because, you know, smaller players can wedge under him and just use their bodies and just push him out. But the advantage of him being so skinny actually is with these super tall players, a lot of times as their careers go on, the injuries to the feet, the knee, the ankles, that's really the limitation on the length of their careers a lot of times. And because he's putting less stress on those lower appendages because he just isn't carrying much weight, I think that does actually give him an out for greater longevity. So that's the counterpoint to that I think not enough people talk about.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard or thought of that. I think the injuries was more in regards to how thin he was. But you're right. He's not putting on all that weight constantly on his lower extremities.
Yeah. You look at him and you think somebody will just break him in half. But like broken bones aren't really as big an injury risk in the NBA as they are in, say, the NFL. So I'm not sure how much teams should worry about that.
Yeah. So who was the steal in the draft last night, or who do you think had the best draft last night?
Well, I think Detroit had the best draft, getting Jaden Ivey at 5 and then coming back and getting Jalen Duren at 12. They really put themselves in position around Cade Cunningham to now you could have another really electric shot-creating guard and then a rim-running center next to them. They didn't have to trade up to get Ivy, who a lot of people had ranked as the fourth best player, or even better. And then Duren, I think, was a guy a lot of people thought might go in the top 10, and he slid a little bit, and so Detroit pounced. I thought they had a really good night.
We're talking to John Hollinger of The Athletic, Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today. So Kyrie and KD, the saga is getting very explosive. I don't really know what's going on in Brooklyn. As of right now, what is your feeling on what that team looks like at the start of next season?
I would still bet on KD and Kyrie being back there with Ben Simmons at the start of next season. I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is a leverage play to get Kyrie the contract that the Nets aren't quite willing to offer him yet. I think the Nets have more of a prove-it-to-me mentality with Kyrie Irving after the last 2 years, and justifiably so. But at the end of the day, I do think both sides need each other. There isn't another team out there who's going to pay Kyrie Irving right now, and there isn't a way for the Nets to replace Kyrie Irving because they're so far over the cap. So for the moment, they need each other, and I think that's going to result in an agreement.
Really quickly, I thought there was a nice scene last night for the NBA draft. I think overall the NBA year was really great. I love the teams that were in the finals. I thought it was a fun old school finals. But I think that the NBA draft should move around like the NFL does. The NFL has done such a great job of making it such a fan weekend. It's a really good time. It's in different cities. So I actually have the suggestion of them doing an NBA draft in Seattle. Seattle's an unbelievable NBA city, an unbelievable basketball city. Obviously, they have the Storm. But what do you think about that? I think they should have the NBA draft in Seattle next year.
Well, they used to take it on the road back in the day. And then I think everyone with the league got very fatigued by it because it's right after the finals that they have the draft. And they're just like, oh, man, we got to do this again. Right now we got. So, I mean, I would love to see them take it on the road to different places. I think it would be great for them. to do, you know, I think Toronto would be a great place for them to do the draft. Las Vegas, obviously, right? But yeah, you know, have them moving around. You know where they should do the, you know where they should do the draft actually is at the University of Kentucky or at Duke, right? You know, that's where all the players are coming from anyway.
I think UNC fans would push back on that, but that is a good suggestion. Thank you so
much. We'll call it Raleigh Durham. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. We'll move it around. Thank you so much for joining us, John. Really appreciate you making time.
Thanks for having me on the show.
John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist for The Athletic. Co-host of the Hollinger and Duncan NBA show alongside Nate Duncan. Yeah, I think they should move it around. I actually have a list of cities. I think they should do Seattle, Chicago, Vegas, Philadelphia, and Memphis. I get what he's saying, that it probably is exhausting because it is right after the NBA finals. But look, you know, the NBA's got some money. Let's hire some people, put together this draft. Yeah, it's just an entertainment company. You can get it done. I think it's start putting some, put together a panel to do the draft somewhere else. I think it's cool to move it around. The NFL's made it into a really nice weekend for fans. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today and all next week as he is on vacation. Coming up next hour, my biggest takeaways from last night's NBA draft, the latest complications of Kyrie Irving's situation in Brooklyn, plus Raiders defensive end Chandler Jones joins me in studio. Thank you for hanging out with us today on a Friday. We're back with all of that coming up next on The Herd.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovas.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.